Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I kick off this hour with my good friend Bob Evans from Force Fins. Bob, how are you, buddy?
Hey, doing great, Greg. In fact, I have one of your sweatshirts on today, the Scuba Radio sweatshirt you gave me.
Really? Is it that cold in Santa Barbara today? Seriously?
No, but I'm out of everything else I wear. I looked around and went, oh, yeah, I think I'll put that on. Somebody goes, Bob, what are you doing wearing wet sweatshirts? 98 degrees today.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob is a good friend of the show, and if he has to sweat to death to represent, that's the kind of guy he is. So I appreciate it. And by the way, I got to thank Bob Evans because he was the one who helped me facilitate the interview you heard in hour one with Jean-Michel Cousteau, who happens to be one of Bob's neighbors there in Santa Barbara, right? Bob?
Yeah, we had dinner the other night together, and I've known Jean-Michel since I was 18 years old when I did photography for some of his dad's books, and one of the greatest people that be able to have a chance and just hang out with him. And we were walking along the beach in Santa Barbara, which I hadn't ever done that with him, and all these people are, you know, recognize him right off the bat and are walking up to him, thanking him for his contribution to the world. And he's going to be at the climate summit in Paris, I think, in 5 months from now.
Yeah.
And laying down that we really have to consciously become aware of what's happening here on this planet. And had a fun time talking about him and Cuba. And I guess you had a chance to talk to him about his diving with his father and Fidel Castro. He actually met when he was a kid on the Calypso in Cuba. So it was very interesting to hear how Fidel preserved his reefs. Did you know how he did that?
Well, he basically said, don't trash him or I'll kill you. Something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. No, chop off your hand.
Oh, okay.
That's poaching. In fact, speaking of poaching, you got some lobster stuff going on?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do indeed. Bugfest actually kicks off here next week. We're going to do a broadcast down there, Lauderdale by the Sea. But the Florida spiny lobster mini season happens the last Wednesday and Thursday of the month. Well, this coming Wednesday, Thursday is when it'll happen. And you're out there on the left coast. So have you caught lobsters out there or what? Or no?
Well, you know what? I've taken my share, and I let other people take what I took. It was in the old days, back in the 60s, the Maestro brothers at Dive and Surf, where I worked, they got the brilliant idea. One of their cousins was a plumber, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, well, what are we going to do with all these old toilets they're taking out of houses? You know, he had them all in the back of his yard. So the Maestro thought, well, let's just dump them out in the off the Redondo Beach out there in the sand bottom, and they'll make a nice home for the lobsters. So we would go out early in the morning and jump on these spots like in 60 feet of water, and there wasn't anything there but just a big pile of toilet bowls. And I tell you, Greg, the lobsters were packed in the toilet bowls, in every part of the toilet bowl.
Really?
And we'd just get down on our hands and knees, and we'd fill up at that time, there wasn't any kind of a limit, and we would just fill up these bags. Bob Maestro, I'll never forget him. They would be, you know how they swim through the water? He'd be like he was catching them as a baseball, you know, and we'd just stuffing them in these, you know, and my mom just loved eating lobsters, and so I'd bring them home, and she'd steam them up. But at one point, I think in my marine taking career, I kind of felt like I've done my share of taking lobsters, and yeah. So I leave that to everybody else nowadays.
Well, you know, when you talk about catching them out of a toilet, they don't sound quite as appealing to eat.
Yeah, you hear what so you don't tell people that. Oh, by the way, I just got this lobster out of a toilet.
That's right. Well, you wait till after they finished it, of course. And then you tell them that, right?
It was pretty brilliant. In fact, it was the beginning of my understanding of artificial reefs. That when we put something into the ocean, like rigs for reefs, you know, and the things in the Cayman Islands, it's a great way to get people off the natural reefs, leave them alone, and go swimming around a big old shipwreck. You know, I think it's. It was the, kind of the beginning of the idea of that of creating artificial reefs. Of course, the Greeks were doing it way back when. They would put a jar down underwater to capture octopus, you know, and they would climb into the jar, and then they would pull it up, and they would get their food that way. So.
Really? That's how they did that?
Yeah, we used to dive out in 150 feet of water. This was Pinnacle that came up. The wall of the Redondo Beach submarine canyon, and we would go down there, and Greg, they were lined up rows, hundreds, I'm not joking, hundreds of lobsters were on these clay banks, they were called, and there was kind of these small areas that were of clay, and the lobsters would get back in them, but they were, you know, shallow enough that you could just go down and just grab them.
Wow. Well, that sounds like, the good old days ain't quite like that anymore. You don't see those type of setups much anymore, let alone, you know, lobster hotels made of toilets. But, you know, but that's what happens out on the left coast, or it did back in the day, you're saying.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we did, even the Maestros, at one time we saw the migration of all the lobsters where they kind of get in a row with each other and they go across.
Yeah, lobster walk.
Lobsters off the I don't know what it's like now, but at that time in the 60s, it was just, you know, they were everywhere.
They were doing the lobster conga or something like that, right?
Yeah. So I got the good news about Laddie Handelman and going down in that submarine in Bahamas.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So, yeah, Laddie is a friend of yours out there in Santa Barbara, and he used to be he was a superstar in the commercial diving world, and has a home there on the top of the hill overlooking Santa Barbara. They're just spectacular. But his years of commercial diving caught up to him, and he's wheelchair bound, or I don't know what's the proper
from
way.
From a skiing accident, but Laddie founded the largest diving company in the world, Oceaneering, and one of the students through the College of Oceaneering grew up and now runs one of the most fantastic submarine companies down there in Vero Beach, Triton Subs. And I was able to talk to Patrick yesterday in Canada, and he's going to be calling you up and explaining how they got Laddie out of a wheelchair. He's got he's basically paralyzed from the neck down.
Right.
So, just getting it. I mean, his wheelchair, you'd need a C-140 jet to get it to the Bahamas, but somehow they put these ropes around him and they lowered him down through a 22-inch hatch into this acrylic sub. And I'm gonna let Patrick tell you all about it, but Laddie just said it was just the most amazing experience because you're inside this circular acrylic sphere, so you have no sensation of any window. You're not like looking out a little porthole like that submarine that you and I went down in the Cayman Islands. I mean,
yeah,
you're just
back in the day,
virtually sitting there in this bubble, and at one point, about 2,000 feet, Laddie saw this fish, and he went out to touch it, and realized when he touched the acrylic sphere, there was something there, you know, but you couldn't physically see it.
Nice.
Must be just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I went to their website, and we are going to talk to him in a couple weeks. They're based in Florida here, but they make submarines for different uses all around the world. It's pretty high-tech stuff, and the fact that they took Laddie...
Your private yacht. Can you imagine that, Greg? We could have one on our yacht.
Nice. Well, you're getting a yacht that we can both go on, right, Bob?
Yeah, well, I was thinking, wow, we must got to have a lot of money to have a yacht big enough to hoist your own submarine in the water.
Well,
but, go down to, one of them goes down to 3,000 feet, so you can imagine the areas that you could explore if you had your own yacht.
Well, exactly. Well, you'll probably be getting one of those when you start, selling their four-spins again
now. Four-spins are going again. In fact, I want to get back to supporting Scuba Radio, and I would like to once a month, I don't care what the bin is, the person can pick anything they want to, any one of my products, and what I'd like them to be able to do, you guys, you Bill, figure out what's the best way of going about the mechanism, and that individual, I'll get their phone number, I'll call them up personally, I'll find out about them, who they are, and what type of fin that would be the right fin for them, and then I'll ship out that fin. Once a month, I want to take one of the Scuba Radio listeners and give them an opportunity to get in the fin that you and I use.
All right, well, we'll come up with a plan, and in the meantime, you just go to forcefins.com and get all the info on Bob and the crew there at Force Fins. We got more coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live-aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Dad, we have a bug.
Bug Hunter. He loves to hunt bugs. He's a diver with an attitude. An underwater thug. With stealth speed and agility, he combs the ocean floor. No matter how many bugs you catch, he's always gonna catch more. Yeah, he's the king of all the lobster slayers, and the word has gotten round. Everyone knows that something's gonna die when the bug hunter goes down.
That is the Scuba Cowboy. He's going to join me for Bug Fest here this week. And we got Pup on the phone right now. Pup, how are you, buddy?
I'm absolutely fantastic, man.
Have you got your lobster license for Florida yet? Or are you going to wait until you get here? What are you doing?
I'll probably wait till I get there. I got a few days.
All right.
You know,
are you going to
make it happen?
Are you going to use a looper or are you going to tickle them? Are you a tickler or a looper?
I don't know. I'm going to defer to the expert. What What would you suggest?
Well, you know what? You might want to mix it up a little bit and see which one you prefer. You know, I like diving with a buddy who does the opposite of me as far as whether he's tickling or looping. I'm a looper, so it might be better for you to tickle. If you duplicate your looping, there's certain situations where the lobsters will be up under a ledge or something, and it might be easier to tickle them out. So we'll tag team maybe as a lobster duo, you think? Lobster hunting duo?
I think that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, all right. We'll see if we can make that work. We'll see. But you're going to play at the event next week. I'm looking forward to that for the big thing Thursday evening and for the lobster cook-off and then Saturday for the barbecue. And then after we do all this stuff, you're actually heading off to do some serious diving, what, in Roatan? Is that the deal on Sunday?
Yes, I'm heading out Sunday. They've got 2 weeks of groups going down to Roatan with single divers, and it's just always a good time. They always have a big group. I don't do any lobster hunt down there, but I get a lot of lionfish.
A lot of lionfish. Well, you know, in Florida this year for mini season, they got a new deal where we can get 12 lobsters a day where we're going to be diving there at Lauderdale by the Sea, and our limit is 12. However, we can expand that by one if we catch 10 lionfish. So for every 10 lionfish, you can add one to your lobster quota. And maybe that's what you need to do. You need to pick up one of them lionfish hunters, spear gun things and little hookah sticks. We'll pick up one of those at the local dive stores, and maybe you can be the lionfish guru guy. You think?
I will be happy to be the lionfish guy. Yeah. As you've already seen, we've done that in Dominica together.
We did that in Dominica. We did, if I remember, it was 28, wasn't it? That's what I vaguely remember, 28.
It was quite a few, I know that.
So we were
dive, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we could get three more lobsters and make it an even 30, easy, I think. Because we did that dive, like, in no time. So it's just a matter of finding the lionfish. And, the Florida Wildlife Commission's doing this little extra bonus thing this year to help curb the expansion of the lionfish in Florida waters. So we'll see how that goes. But I would trade 30 lionfish for three lobster any day, wouldn't you? Or do you like just eating the lionfish?
Well, I do like eating the lionfish as well, but they probably don't even care if you eat them. They probably just want them dead. You just got to tell them they're dead. I would imagine they'll let you keep them.
Yeah,
but I would be glad to go out and get lionfish too, because it just basically extends your underwater hunt. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not asking for the lionfish in exchange, I don't believe. I don't think that's part of the deal. It's just like if you take out 10 lionfish, you get one extra lobster. For your quota of the day. So that'll be kind of nice, a fun little added bonus for this year's Bug Fest event in the Florida Spiny Lobster sports season that happens Wednesday and Thursday this week. All right, so off to Roatan for 2 weeks after that, and then when you come back, you're going to hang out in Florida for a week? Is that the plan or what?
I am hanging out in Florida for a week because that following, I want to say, Thursday through Sunday is the Keys Reef Crawl, and so I'm doing a couple events related to that, and I'll be on Island Time on the dinner boat cruise that following Saturday, so any divers that are in the area and want to get a concert, that's where you can get it.
Okay, and what is the date of the Island Time gig? What is the date?
August 22nd.
Okay, so the 22nd, so after he spends a couple weeks in Roatan, you can catch Pup on this riverboat cruise thing that's going on down there in Key Largo called Island Time. I've seen it. I haven't been out on the dinner thing, but you did this last year once too, right?
Yes, yes.
And they just take people out for like a sunset cruise and dinner, and then you kind of play while they have a cocktail and that kind of thing? Is that how it works or what?
Yeah, I don't think it's normally dinner. I just said dinner because it's like a dinner hour thing, but I think it's more of a sunset cruise, yes.
Got it.
But,
okay.
They booze up and everybody's having a good time. You watch the sunset, I'm playing. Everybody just has a good time.
Absolutely. And you hope to get some more diving in, I would imagine, in between all these gigs that you got lined up over the next few weeks, don't you?
Yes, I am going to get some more diving in. I've got some friends that are bugging me to hit them up the moment I get back from Roatan on the 15th. So probably that Sunday I'll be going out again. So I'll let you know specifically, and maybe you can hook up with us. But yeah, definitely I got people bugging me to do that. And there's a couple other events, like I said. I don't know all the times and stuff. When the whole thing kicks off on Thursday is the reef crawl kicks off. So I'll be right down there playing at the Chamber of Commerce and kind of welcoming everybody into the event because they come by and get their cards and what have you. So
yeah, now what
it'll
is
be a good time.
That reef crawl thing, that is down through the entire Florida Keys or just Key Largo or what?
Key Largo and Isla Mirada, I believe.
Okay, all right. So and basically this is an event for divers where you can go down and dive each day in a different site. And there, like you said, they have some kind of card you can get as part of the program that gets you discounts on these different dives throughout the week or something to that effect, right?
Yes, and it's not just divers. They've actually got paddle boarders and all the other pretty much water events that go on. And I know that there's a lot of sponsors. I know Diver Direct, Bass Pro Shop, which they have a different name for their international division or all-encompassing division, but I know they're all going to be down with that initial thing on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I will get a chance to hook up with all those people and kind of, you know, meet and greet. And like I said, I'll be playing to just kind of invite everybody into it all.
Got it. And during this next phase of your travels, I mean, you're going to be on the road for over a month easy when you add all this stuff up. Are you looking for inspiration for some new diving tunes that you plan to put on a new CD coming out here in a few months or what?
I am very much looking for inspiration. And the big challenge to me is going to be to get back and then and actually get some studio time done because I don't have a whole lot of time to squeeze in the studio because then we head off again, you know, in October, and then after that I'm off to Sabah again, and it just kind of keeps rolling into the, you know, one goes into the next, and then I'll be back down in Florida again in September for a, you know, a reef lion fish event, and then and I'm sure there'll be some other things tied around that, and then of course back down for Dima as well. So
well, you just write on the road where while you're inspired, then you write your songs right there, don't you, Pup?
That's what I do. I write them on the road, and then as soon as I get back to Colorado, I bust my hind end and get into the studio and try to get it all done and schedule my musicians and make it all happen.
There you go. And if you want to connect with Pup, it's thescubacowboy.com. You can go there, get all his schedule, or reach out to him and maybe book him for an event that you have coming up. We got more coming up on Bugfest next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and on the phone I got Steve Delavera. He is the man behind the madness of Bugfest, which is already underway, right, Steve?
Yeah. We started last night with a great presentation by John Chatterton, who's the subject of the book Shadow Divers about the U-boat they found off Jersey in 1991. It was fascinating.
Yeah, in the new book, Pirate Hunters, it just came out last month.
Yeah. He touched on that a little bit. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, too. I just I bought it on Amazon, waiting for it to arrive.
Yes, it's good stuff. You'll like it big time. But that was last night. But Bugfest, you know, it all centers around mini season, which kicks off here in Florida on Wednesday at midnight. And or I should say Tuesday. I mean, I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. Tuesday.
No, it's actually 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday.
All right,
the official time, start time. Yeah.
So we got 48 hours to grab all the bugs we can up to our 12 lobster a day limit. However, if you add 10 lionfish, you can add one more lobster. That's kind of
right. That's
cool
right.
Little,
yeah, it seems like a high price to pay, but some divers will do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you go to Lauderdale by the Sea and join the festivities after you catch your lobsters. Come out Thursday evening for the big lobster cook-off, and I get to be one of the judges again. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's gonna be a fun event. And actually, during the the Lobster Chef competition is when we're going to be giving away all the prizes for the divers that win, you know, the biggest bugs, the most bugs, all that kind of stuff. And the Scuba Cowboy is going to be performing during that event as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got the Scuba Cowboy. We got some mermaids. We've thrown in a few little giveaways of our own, and there's some really good things they put together for this event for Bugfest. And then there's going to be a beach cleanup, another concert and barbecue on Saturday. All the details are right there at Bugfest by the Sea. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah, bugfestbythesea.com. Or if you Google Bugfest, the site comes up right away. So
there you go.
So yeah, but all the details are there. It's only $20 to register for the contest, so it's a pretty good deal because you get a free T-shirt, you get a ReefSafe goodie bag with all kinds of stuff in it. So it's fun.
Yes, and we're going to have a blast. I'm looking forward to it. You'll hear all about it next week. All right, we head across the pond to check in with Roz from the UK. That's next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really? I took a dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Drake the Dive Master. We now connect to Across the Pond with Roz, our UK correspondent here at Scuba Radio. Roz, how are you? Welcome.
Hello, Greg. I'm in good form. How are you?
You are always in good form. Come on, Roz, really?
How could I not be? It's a summer evening here in Somerset in England, and it's the end of day three of Tech Camp.
Tech camp, huh? Okay, so this is a an event where tech divers over there across the pond get together and converge and do all kinds of technical types of diving, I guess, right?
Kind of. It's like speed dating an instructor. It's designed for divers who are curious about tech and also who want to advance their skills.
Very nice.
They get the opportunity to get some personal coaching with the top instructors, tech instructors. Anything from finning backwards to laying line to side mount diving to tech recovery, tech rescue. And this year, Jill Hines has flown across the pond and she's guesting here. In the past, we've had Lamar Hyers from Dive Right. He's also taught at Tech Camp.
Very nice.
So it's a mixture of the agencies. So, you know, you have GUE, INATD, TDI,
right.
PADI, RAID,
The whole tech diving community is there, but they're speed dating. So is there like someone with a little bell? Okay, rotate, ding, you know, that kind of thing? No?
Almost. It's kind of like, right, this morning you're with Rich Walker and this afternoon you're with Your Highness.
Mm. Okay, very good.
So yes, it is almost like a, you know, lunchtime bell. Everybody eats and it's right, change instructors.
Yeah, cool. Well, that sounds nice. Are you picking up a few tips yourself? Because I know you're a big tech diver when you get out there in the water, right?
I'm a baby tech diver, Greg, and yes, it's always interesting. You do pick up hints and tips off all the instructors. It's, you know, Rich came out with something earlier, which was, you know, how long do you carry on looking for a lost cave line? And he said, for the rest of your life.
Mm, good point, which could be very short if you don't find it, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
It was very nicely put.
Yes.
So, yes, there are, you know, there's little nuances and hints and tricks that you can pick up, and it just makes you a better diver.
Nuggets of knowledge that you can use as a tech diver. Now, I mean, I would imagine even if you're not a tech diver, you're going to pick up some cool stuff and at the bare minimum share some really interesting stories from all these folks in the tech diving community in the UK there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, every single diver that's ever been here, including we've had a number of professionals come in as well. They've all gone away with sweeter skills and with better diving abilities. All of them, just because of the personal coaching they receive, you know, you're really under a magnifying glass. It's a very good way of getting some really good personal coaching from some top instructors.
Got it. Now, so is this out at dive sites there in the area? So not only is there, you know, convention space and some exhibits and things where you kind of mix and mingle and network, but I'm guessing, do they actually go out and do dives together?
Yeah, so the whole thing's held at Vobster Key.
Okay.
So it's kind of a bit like Dutch Springs.
Okay.
And so there's pop-up displays from the manufacturers there. So, you know, they come in and you can try some of the equipment out, which is very good. You're diving morning and afternoon. There's lectures at lunchtime. There's talks in the evening. And then, you know, there's lots of networking and things like that.
Now, when you mentioned that it's like Dutch Spring, so what, it's like a big quarry lake type of attraction, and
yes.
have they sank things specific for divers to go explore and that type of stuff underwater, or what?
Yes, there is. There's okay. There's some fairground horses down there.
There are some horses. Tell me they're not dead horses, or, you know... They're like, you mean like carousel horses, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's kind of unique, though. I mean, I've never heard of that. So they actually got some carousel horses you can go down and ride on and get your picture taken on a horse kind of thing?
Something maybe? Like, yes.
Something like that, okay. And what else? What other kind of things? They got planes or, I don't know, they've sank motorcycles and all kinds of crazy stuff here in the States. What do they do across the pond there?
They've got some planes. We've got some cars, but I don't know whether the cars were put in deliberately for a tourist attraction or whether, you know, they were put
ditched
in there.
Right.
Yes,
I gotcha. Yeah. Well, they should have like a James Bond car or something. You know, kind of stay with the whole UK theme, but that's probably too stereotypical for us Americans to look at that kind of thing. When you mention the when you mention the horses, you know, first thing I think, what do? They sink all the stuff like from the Mary Poppin movie or something and stuck it in the water, which I would go over there and want to dive that. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can understand that. I'll tell you what we have got, Greg, and it's the world's first.
Yeah.
You've come across pop-up shops over there, haven't you?
Pop-up shops. Now, what do you explain what a pop-up shop is?
Well, coming up to, say, Christmas or Halloween, some shopping centres and so on have empty retail premises. So somebody will come along and they'll rent it for about a week or 2 weeks.
Ah, okay.
And they'll put in all their Halloween stuff and sell it for 2 weeks and then close down again.
All right, so you call that a pop-up shop. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, like one of those Halloween stores that we get where you can get half-price Halloween stuff right after Halloween. That's when you go to those stores, right after the holiday. But like a fireworks store or whatever, that kind of thing. That is a pop-up shop. I got you now. So they're doing this at the tech event in some fashion or what? What are they doing?
Yes, they're doing it on the surface. But we have got the world's first pop-down shop.
Okay.
And basically you go into Bobster, you go and buy a T-shirt, you go and spend, you give the staff money for a T-shirt, and you're given a token. Then you have to put your dive kit on, you have to get in the water, and you have to dive down to about 10 meters, which I think is, what,
30 feet in atmosphere, right, yeah, thereabouts.
And then you find there's a habitat down there, there's a pop-down shop under there, and you can go into it, you surface into the dry, and you put your token into a special bucket, and you collect your T-shirt, which is in a special waterproof bag, and then you dive out of a habitat, and you've just bought your first underwater T-shirt.
Very nice. So they have like an underwater bell or something, a little dry area down there that you can go down. And you go down there, there's an attendant in there, and you get in the queue line, give them your token, take your T-shirt, and then you swim back to the surface or go, take a scenic route back.
This is something that Fourth Element's done. So it's Fourth Element's pop-down shop.
Very nice. The world's first pop-down shop. I like it. That's a great idea for sure. I think that should be copied around the world. We might have to incorporate some more stuff like that. How big was that area underwater? Was it a big diving bell kind of thing, or was it an underwater habitat that had been established there?
It's an underwater habitat.
Yeah, that they just have at that particular site that
it's been specifically installed.
Oh, it was just for this event.
Yeah, it's a proper pop-down shop. It's only there for a week,
right?
Just for tech camp, and then it gets packed up and taken away and used for cave exploration again.
Interesting. Well, describe that though. How do you make a temporary pop-up shop? What was it? Just a big box, and they pumped some air into it, or something, or what?
It's kind of tarpaulins, and it's a scaffolding construction.
Ah, okay. All right. So they just had it. They use this stuff for like decompression in cave dives for technical dives. I got you. I've seen that stuff. I've seen it on video. I've never done that kind of thing, but I definitely have seen the movies, seen the videos. It looks pretty intriguing and that kind of stuff. What about diving in general, Roz? What have you been doing lately?
Well, I've been up Scotland. I went to go and dive an extinct volcano called Kilda.
Oh.
Except that we have something called weather.
Weather is sometimes an obstacle that's hard to overcome, even underwater. Yes. But in a volcano, I'm guessing it's even compounded. What happened in Scotland? The weather kept you from even getting to the site or just getting underwater?
Just couldn't get to St. Kilda. So we stayed around the Outer Hebrides. I ended up learning how to shear a sheep.
Okay. So if you can't dive, might as well learn something else. And you decided to start shearing sheep. That's better than doing other things to sheep, which guys get in trouble for. But, hey, that's we don't want to go there, do we, Roz?
So I ended up shearing two sheep. And so in between times, went diving around Harris and around the Outer Hebrides, which was lovely.
Well, that's one way to pass away the surface interval is shearing sheep. I mean, what, did you find that difficult? Did you keep the wool that you sheared off these sheep after or what?
Actually, at the end of it, the farmer turned around to me and said, "Here's the fleece." And I said, no, I can't possibly, you know, I've just had a fantastic experience shearing a sheep. Thank you. Loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And he was like, no, you take it away. So I've got the fleece and I'm busy washing it and I'm going to comb it and I'm going to spin it and I'm going to knit it into something.
Interesting. You know, this is taking a strange turn, but what are you going to do? And that's what we love about Roz from the UK. You never know where this stuff is going to go. We got more with her next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy. And this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
There's something wrong in the air.
Air is not good, Patrick. Air is not good.
There's a little lobster boy in the air.
first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Roz on from the UK. And Roz, you know, we're getting ready for Bug Fest here as Florida spiny lobster season opens up here in a couple weeks. And we're going to be at Lauderdale by the Sea going after those bugs. They have those in the UK. Do you guys go lobster hunting out there where you're at, or are you just too busy shearing sheep? What's going on?
Yes, we do go and pick up lobsters and crabs and scallops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a season for certain fish, like the Isle of Man. You can't take scallops at the moment.
Right.
Until I think November.
But the kind of lobsters that you guys have are the ones with the pinchers, like we have up in Maine, and I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, proper claws.
Yeah. See, we have these crazy Florida spiny lobsters. They don't have the claws, but they're fast. They're faster than lightning. You have to have the reflexes of a panther to catch these little bugs, which, of course, I do. That's what we're going to partake in. And, you know, we don't have to worry about getting pinched per se, but they're so fast. They make up for their, the challenge in agility that our Florida spiny lobsters have. You hear what I'm saying?
I understand that.
I'm just trying to build up the whole, thing about us catching lobsters, making it harder than it really is to make us sound good. You know what I mean?
We don't have a bug fest. We have a scuba fest.
You have a scuba fest. Okay.
Yeah. And right. We've got Anglesey Scuba Fest coming up in August, from the 14th to the 16th, and that's up in North Wales. And we've got beach activities for the kids, and we've got paddy pool dives, and we've got come and try kit out from manufacturers, and we've got bands, and we've got hog roast and camping, and it's just a great social weekend for British divers.
Very nice. And do they? Is there tea time as well? Do they break for tea time? Is that what happens when you're British and you're diving like that on your surface interval or no?
At 4 o'clock, we all stop, we put our bowler hats on, and we have cucumber sandwiches, Greg.
You put your what hats on?
Bowler hats on.
Bowler hats.
Yes, absolutely.
And you have cucumber sandwiches.
Yes, completely. Mm.
You know, why am I here? I really should be there. I just want to witness this. Like, people really eat these things? Whatever. It works for them. You know, but it sounds like an experience you at least have to mark off the list. Am I right, Roz, maybe?
It's worth coming to Anglesey. It's like your bug fest. I think it's probably a great social event where you meet up with friends and make new ones. And
that's what diving's all about, is sharing our love for the underwater world, no matter whether you're in the UK or US or anywhere on the planet, right?
And Fort Lauderdale's very pretty.
It is, indeed. But you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to work some cucumber sandwiches into our Bug Fest event.
Right.
just to think of you while we're catching our bugs. You think, Roz? No?
Thank you. Just stay safe, hey, Greg? I do end up reading the fatalities after things like this, and it's not always so nice.
Yeah, well, you saw that poster Divers Alert Network put out, I guess, where we average 2 deaths a year during Florida spiny lobster season, which is tragic. But they're usually, 9 times out of 10, it's always these divers that haven't been in the water for so long, they weren't good on their skills, and they overloaded themselves with extra tasks like catching lobsters. And they don't really have the basics down. Yeah, I would imagine you have the same issues there in the UK with divers, whether it's scallop season or whatever else they're going after or adding to their diving activities. Am I right?
Ours is called Easter. You'll traditionally see a spike at the beginning of the year when Easter holidays happen.
Why? Are they looking for Easter eggs or something?
No, it's generally because we have a 4-day holiday.
Yeah.
We have Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Easter Monday.
Ah.
And so everybody races off diving. And the ones who haven't been diving all winter go and do a 100-foot dive thinking they're still dived in.
Yeah.
Have incidents and they can go a bit nasty.
Yeah. Well, do they have the same kind of thing with lobster season as well as like scallop season? Or I don't know. What do the UK divers go for as far as seasonal things like that? Or is there such a thing?
Anything that moves.
Anything that moves that they're willing to eat. I mean, look, they're eating cucumber sandwiches. So everything looks appetizing underwater, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
We kid here at the world's first radio show devoted to diving, but we can because Rod's takes it with a grain of salt, and she knows how ridiculous we can be, and that's what we love about her. So when are we going to go dive together? You ought to come out to the Turks and Caicos with us in October, Roz.
Oh, God, I'd love to.
We're going
to
be on our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Explore Ventures. Dive Training Magazine's going to be on board. Scuba Pro's doing a demo week. The Scuba Cowboy will be there.
Renee or is it Fraser from Scuba Pro?
It'll be the plan is to have Renee, I believe. this time.
He's fantastic. Rain and he's always good value as well.
Oh, absolutely. Renee is great from Scuba Pro. And when Fraser's awesome, too. He's been on the trips with us before. But, yeah, you might have to come out on one of these or come on that one, October 3rd, and join us. You could do it. We still got a spot or two available, you think?
I'll have a look at my diary.
Well, it's a diary? You have to look at your diary to find out? That's what you...
Oh, sorry. I need to look at my calendar.
No, you will write things down in your diary during the cruise that you probably wouldn't want to share with the rest of the world, but it's that exciting and fun and life-changing.
Yeah. Greg, call our calendars diaries. And we have two diaries. We have Dear Diary, and then we have the diary we put stuff in, like dental appointment, 11 o'clock on a Friday.
Ah, okay. That's a diary, too.
Must go diving with Greg on the 3rd of October.
All right, so you have a regular diary and a boring diary, is what you're saying. And we make the boring one?
Yeah, Greg, you make both.
Oh, we make both. Okay. See, you learn things about Roz in the UK and just that whole world thing. It's like a cultural exchange of things. It'll probably start the next international incident. But, hey, that's just what we do. Next week, Bugfest. Don't miss it. It's going to be huge. We've got a special broadcast for you from the event. In the meantime, you can go to bugfestbythesea.com for all the information and to join us if you like as well. Until then, remember, it's always better. Where, Roz?
Down where it's wetter, Greg.
Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.